This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Digital Health Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by one of our regular guests, Dr. Purihit. Dr. Purihit's going to talk to us about artificial intelligence and value-based care, sort of the trends he's watching, what he's seeing, what's important, what's not, and a little bit more. Malik, Dr. Purihit, can you take a moment to introduce yourself and tell us what you're watching in artificial intelligence and value-based care?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. It's always an honor to be here, and you do a great job, so thank you for having me. As far as myself, I work at University Hospitals, and I am Associate Chief Medical Information Officer, as well as the Clinical Innovation Lead for Transformation. So I'm involved in not only implementing technology, but also leveraging the technology for improving organization goals. Obviously, topmost is patient quality of care and patient safety. As we're in a healthcare organization, that's our top priority.
Tell us about AI, value-based care. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I that's a great question. And so value-based care, you know, let's start there a little bit. I think that's been a term that's been thrown around a lot, just like AI has been. And one of the things with value-based care, the simplest way to think is, can we drive and create the best quality of care for our patients with the lowest cost? And reduce unnecessary burden of care, reduce extensive testing, but still provide high level quality that improves patient satisfaction, patient outcomes. And how do we get there? And so technology has a huge role to play. And, you know, we often, when we get into the value-based space, often talk about the payer-provider relationships, talk about the business aspect of medicine. But I think there's a huge component that technology plays in supporting and executing on value-based care. And so I think one of that area of technology is understanding your patient base and what the level of sickness is, what their needs are. And that's the starting point for value-based care, because if we don't know what our patients need based on their diagnoses, based on their health status, based on their social demographics, then it's difficult to understand how to take care of them well. And so technology is a huge role to play in understanding our patients and then understanding what we need to do for our patients.
And talk about that. When you talk about sort of value-based care, I mean, this is, there's some people that would say value-based care is really just an economic arrangement. Other would say, no, when done in its right way, it really is intended to provide preventive care and better care, the right care to patients. Where's the line on value-based care? You talked about the confusion. And where is that line? Is it really a financial engineering concept, or is it really about care?
Yeah, great question. I think it's about both, right? And at the end of the day, we want to care for our patients, but to keep our doors open to care for those patients, we also have to make sure that we're staying afloat, at least having enough margin to keep our doors open. So I think both are important for every organization. And so let me give a tangible example. And certainly, you know, cost and economics are part of it, right? I think that's part of every discussion when we talk about healthcare these days, no matter where we are. And unfortunately, a lot of our patients do face severe economic consequences in terms of getting care. That's a value. The difference in getting a medication or paying the rent, and that's an unfortunate area. But if we can help reduce the cost of care, then that equation becomes easier for the patient. And that's our goal with this. And one area that we've looked at with AI, artificial intelligence, to help identify where we can have an impact in a meaningful way for patients is an area called readmissions. So when a patient is admitted, when you care for that patient, and then the patient goes home and they're receiving care in the ambulatory space, one of the things that often happens, unfortunately, is that the patient is readmitted, and meaning that they're admitted back into the hospital because they have some consequence, some adverse event. They missed a medication dose, or they didn't get a follow-up appointment, or whatever it may be, and then they end up having to use the ED and then get readmitted. And so it's an unfortunate series of events, but it's also preventable. And one of the things that we've used and tried to incorporate into our system and currently have, particularly for our oncology patients, is can we predict who's going to have a higher likelihood of being readmitted. And that may be because their medical condition or underlying diagnoses are so severe that they're always tenuous in their health. It could be because they live in a part of town that has high pollution, and so then they're more likely to get sick. It could be that they don't have access to medications or food or whatever it may be. And so if we have the ability to predict some of those areas, then we can try to prevent the need for them coming back in the hospital by giving them the care they need outside of the hospital, whether it be an extra appointment, whether it be connecting them to social services, or whether it be finding a way to help them pay for their medication. And so those are things that are tangibly beneficial to patients. And it does reduce the economic impact by reducing the cost of care for the patient. But it also, I think, is a patient satisfier because now they're not having to go back and forth between home and hospital, but they can actually go to the hospital for what they need, but then come home and recover and recuperate at home rather than be in the hospital.
Thank you. And give us some examples of where artificial intelligence could help you predict some of these things in terms of need or management that really has an impact to trying to get the cost of care to the right spot, to get the right care to the patient.
Yeah, great. And I'll give another example, which is end-of-life care. As you know, and I think much of our audience knows, is that end-of-life care is one of the most expensive years of care for patients in our system, and it's a high percentage of cost. And if we can provide the right level of care at the right location for the patient, then we can not only reduce the cost, but also provide more meaningful care and focus on quality of life rather than the quantity of life that, you know, may not be meaningful for the patients. So one area is, an example is DNR status, where we have things do not resuscitate. And oftentimes people think of this in a negative way, but really, you know, I'll say this as a patient and having gone through this with my grandparents in the last few years, you know, they were in their 90s and had a lot of comorbidities. And, you know, the last thing I would want for them is to someone be pressing on their chest, resuscitating them, putting a lot of fluids in there, pressors in there, and doing a lot of invasive procedures. And at that point, I think the appropriate care, which we did for my grandparents, was to give them a DNR, meaning that we want them to have a good end-of-life quality, pain-free, take care of their comforts, make sure they're comfortable with pain, et cetera, but not necessarily do a lot of invasive things. And so AI is one area that can maybe help identify in an objective manner those patients that may be at high risk for mortality. And then, you know, focusing on their quality of life so that we give them the best comfort rather than trying to extend their life and having them go back and forth between the hospital and home or, you know, increase the cost for the families, et cetera. And so this is an area that I think is very meaningful for patients in getting them the right level of care at the right place and in a time frame that is quite vulnerable for patients.
Yeah, 100%. And it's a complicated area in that the more data and the better analysis, the better AI can help to really predict what things will look like and feel like, the better able you are as a caregiver, as a decider, or as a physician or provider to make informed decisions.
Absolutely. And, you know, what I'll add is that when we use AI, a lot of people assume that we're sort of replacing humans, but what I would say is that really the place of AI and the way it's used right now is that it's decision support, right? That oftentimes when you have a patient physician relationship, we can be emotionally involved and invested in the care of that patient, which is good. I mean, we're humans. We should empathize with our patients. But sometimes that can also color our objective lens of thinking about what's best for the patient or what's the right advice. And so having decision support, especially in an area like this, can provide an objective means to provide decision support, then we can, as physicians, you know, weigh the pros and cons, and then, you know, discuss with the family, et cetera, and whoever needs to be involved. And so that we don't have to worry about our biases as much, but we can rely on a criteria that's more objective than we as humans can be sometimes.
In this area of AI for clinical decision support systems, it's such a growing, evolving area currently, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I think AI, I think we see AI, you know, the way we see electricity, right? I think it'd be part and parcel of anything we do.
Yes, and at one point it was more focused on business operations, business background, but more and more on the clinical side as well. Dr. Pierre-Hitt, I want to thank you for joining us again today. It is always a pleasure to visit you. I appreciate your insight so much. Dr. Pierre-Hitt is one of our great regular guests. Tell us, Malik, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Full introduction and so the audience knows more about who you are too.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes. So I, as I said, I serve as associate CMIO and clinical lead for innovation and transformation at UH. My background is really connecting data, technology, and operations together to provide more meaningful outcomes and better outcomes for patients. And my passion has been, how do we use the tools at our disposal to make the experience better for everybody? And if we make the patient experience better, if we make the provider experience better, if we make the nursing experience better, then all of us can improve our interaction with healthcare and have a much better outcome, much better experience. You know, growing up, remember one of the things that we all hated was going to the doctor's office. You know, you waited for hours, it was a 15-minute appointment, and then it was in and out. And what I'd love to do is someone say, man, I'm going to the doctor's today. I'm going to love that appointment and have the same sort of enjoyment of that experience for their own health and well-being that we do from other products in such as entertainment and other areas. And so my passion is to use technology, data, and operations and tie them together to give us a much more meaningful healthcare product for all of us.
Malik, Dr. Pierre-Hitt, thank you so much for joining us today on the Becker's Healthcare Digital Health Podcast. Always a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, absolutely. Thank you. It's an honor to be here, and thank you for having me.